بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا، اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Very happy to see all of you tonight, and we ask that Allah make this dars beneficial for all of us and give us beneficial knowledge, inshaAllah ta'ala. Today will be the 38th class in the series on the fiqh of Tahara, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we begin today a new chapter in the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. We begin a chapter after having completed the chapter on the Mash al-Khufayn. We begin the chapter entitled The Nullifiers of Wudu, Nawaqid al-Wudu. What are the things that break the wudu? What are the things that cause the wudu to be nullified? Inshallah, we shall be discussing these matters in this chapter, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let us go together, inshaAllah, to the first hadith in the chapter, which we'll read in Arabic and translate, and then talk about the commentary of the ulama, inshaAllah ta'ala. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على عهده ينتظرون العشاء حتى تخفق رؤوسهم ثم يصلون ولا يتوضؤون. أخرجه أبو داود وصححه الدارقطني. Now Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his lifetime, they used to wait for him for the Isha prayer. They used to stay and wait for him for the Isha prayer in the masjid, so much that their heads would be lowered down by dozing off. They would wait for the Prophet ﷺ until their heads would doze off in the masjid. Then when the Prophet ﷺ came, they would get up and pray Isha without performing wudu. They would not perform wudu. They would get up and pray Isha without performing wudu. This is the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood and Ad-Darqutni, which we shall be discussing tonight. This hadith, Imam Ibn Hajar, the compiler of this hadith collection, he decided to begin the chapter of Nawaqid al-Wudu with this particular text. And the text, it says, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, they would sit in the masjid waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come until their heads would nod off. What is meant by nodding off is the feeling of drowsiness that affects a person right before they fall asleep, where their heads would fall down, but then as they felt their heads going down, right away they would pay attention and lift their head again. So it was the beginning stages of sleep, or the precursor to falling asleep. They would nod off and then wake up right away when they realized that they were about to fall asleep. The background of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to delay Isha until one third of the night had passed. He used to delay the Isha until part of the night had gone by, about one third. Then he would come out to the Sahaba and he would begin the prayer. And he would say to them, this is the best time for Isha, after some delay. However, I do not want to make it a burden for my ummah, or I do not want to make it a difficulty for you. So he would pray Isha in the early time, even though he preferred to pray it at the later time, because this would have made it hard for the Sahaba. So the Sahaba, when he came out to lead prayer for them, many of them had fallen asleep, some of them were drowsy, some of them were nodding off. We find these different narrations that are mentioned by the hadith in this chapter. The Prophet ﷺ, he would tell them when he came to them, he said, there is no better people on the face of the earth, or there is no one like you on the face of the earth, to encourage them. He said, these people, these Sahaba, they're in Tahara, they're sitting here waiting for Salah, they're waiting to stand in prayer. Nobody else on the face of the earth is like this. So what he wanted to tell them, he wanted to clarify to them that it is better for them, it is good what they are doing. To wait for the prayer while delaying the time of Isha is something good and beneficial. But then he would say, I do not want to make it difficult for you. So normally he would pray it in the early time, as soon in the early time, but he wanted them to know that it is better for them to delay it, and he wanted to encourage them and at the same time show them that what they were doing is something very noble. That sitting in the masjid waiting for prayer, he said, there's no one on earth like you. No one on the face of the earth while one is sitting in prayer waiting for salah. So the commentators on this hadith, which are Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he commentates in his book Fathul Bari, as well as Imam Nawawi in his commentary on Sahih Muslim, and Ash-Shawkani, who also commentated on this book, they mention regarding the sleep. This hadith, the reason why Ibn Hajar put it in the beginning of the chapter of nullifiers of wudu is because he wanted to make it a doorway for a discussion on sleep. And does sleep nullify the wudu or not? This is the discussion. And the ulama that studied this text, all of the ulama, they state that there are two main positions regarding sleep and whether it nullifies the wudu. There are two main positions according to the ulama. The first position is that wudu is nullified by any type of sleep whatsoever. Any sleep, however light, however deep, whatever position, standing, sitting, laying down, any type of sleep, it will nullify the wudu. Anything that causes a person to be in a state of sleep, even if it's light, if it's heavy, they pay no regard to that. They say it nullifies the wudu. And this is the position of Imam Hassan al-Basri and others that follow him. So what is their proof that any type of sleep it will nullify their wudu? What do they give as a proof? Imam Hassan al-Basri and those who follow him, they state, the whole of the ummah, they agree and they have consensus that if somebody loses consciousness, whether it's due to alcohol, whether it's due to anesthetics or drugs, whether it's due to insanity or a coma, any of these things that cause a person to go into a state of unconsciousness, all of the ulama of the ummah, they say this breaks the wudu, nullifies the wudu. So they said that any of these things, drugs, alcohol, insanity, coma, any of these things that makes a person lose his consciousness, where he's no longer aware of what is happening around him, all of the ulama, they agree this is something that causes one to lose his wudu. So then they say sleep is like going into a coma. It has the same effect on a person. It makes them lose their consciousness. They are not able to feel what is around them. So they state that sleep, just like these other things, should also be something that causes one to nullify their wudu. And they say the absent-mindedness that comes with sleep is the same as that which comes in a coma. And so this ability of losing the sense of what is around you causes one to break wudu. That's the first opinion amongst the ulama. However, that's a minority opinion. The majority of the ulama, the jumhur, it means the majority of the ulama, they state that, facing this opinion, they state that sleep itself, it does not nullify the wudu. Sleep, it does not nullify the wudu. However, falling asleep is a probable cause of something that will make you lose your wudu. Sleep is not in and of itself a nullifier of wudu, but it is a probable cause of something that will break one's wudu. Rather, it is something that can cause a hadath, or cause one to lose their wudu. So Imam Ibn Hajar, he mentions another hadith towards the end of this chapter, which will help for us to understand this second position, the jumhur. Why do they say that sleep itself doesn't break wudu, but it's a probable cause of something that will break the wudu? The hadith is narrated by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who said, The eyes are the tie strings of the rear passage of the anus, and they stop the air from escaping. If the two eyes sleep, the string is untied. Al-Aynayn Wikah As-Suh. As is mentioned in the hadith, the eyes are the tie string of the rear passage. If the eyes are asleep, then the strings, they become untied. Of course, this is an analogy. The Prophet ﷺ, he's describing that as long as a person is awake, his consciousness, his eyes are awake, then the passage is closed, is prevented from the air from coming out. So it's a tie string for the air from coming out from the person's rear passage. But as soon as the eyes close, then the string becomes undone, and whatever was in the passage could come out. The word used here, wika, it means a tie that they use to tie a water skin. When you have a water skin, you tie it, and it keeps the water from coming out. What happens when that string is undone? The water can gush out. So the same way, the eyes, when they're awake, they keep the passage from releasing what is inside. As soon as one falls asleep, then the string is untied, and what is inside can come out. So the understanding of this hadith is that it is when one falls asleep, then something can happen that will break the wudu. Losing consciousness causes the rear passage to be untied, and that is what leads to breaking the wudu. So it is not the sleep itself that is the hadith. It is not sleeping that is the hadith, but it is what happens during sleep of the untying of the rear that causes the wudu to be broken or can be broken. And in other words, it's a probable cause for sleep to be broken, for wudu to be broken. And we also have another hadith that strengthens this meaning. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, wudu is only for the one who sleeps when they're laying down on the ground. So again, this hadith is showing that if sleep, any type of sleep broke the wudu, then the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have said sleep is only for the one laying down. But he's saying sleep is only for the one laying down, meaning in that position, then the air can come out from the rear passage and that will break the wudu. So these two texts, they strengthen the opinion that wudu is a that sleep is a probable cause of breaking the wudu, and it's not sleep itself that is the hadith that breaks the wudu. Okay, so the first opinion is that any sleep, any type of sleep will break one's wudu. The second opinion is that the jumhur is that what happens during the sleep is what breaks the wudu. And then we have the hadith that will clarify this for us of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that the Prophet ﷺ, sometimes he would come home, he would pray witr, then he would go and lay down until he fell asleep. Some texts have said that even he snored. Then the adhan for fajr would come, and Aisha says he would get up and he would stand up for prayer without performing wudu. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a faqiha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, you got up for fajr, you slept, and you didn't perform wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, O Messenger of Allah, did you pray after you have fallen asleep? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Aisha, my eyes sleep, but my heart does not sleep. My eyes, they sleep, but my heart does not sleep. In other words, the eyes that tie the rear from letting anything out that would break the wudu, they might sleep, but there's another thing that ties, another thing that is conscious, which is the heart. The Prophet ﷺ's heart, he did not sleep even when he was asleep. His heart was aware. It was sentient of what was happening. So if he had done anything in his sleep that would break his wudu, his heart would have told him. He would have known about it. So the Prophet ﷺ, what do we learn from this hadith? If sleep by itself broke the wudu, would the Prophet ﷺ have gotten up after snoring and prayed? No. It's not possible. So it's very clear from this text that it is the untying of what prevents the air from coming out, which is what breaks the wudu, and not the fact that one slept or the fact that one loses consciousness that is a nullifier of the wudu. Also, we see another hadith. There's a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he was the nephew of Maymuna. Maymuna, she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ibn Abbas, he was very keen to come and sleep over Maymuna's house because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be there. He would find out when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in his aunt's house, and he would go there and sleep just to watch how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be at night. So he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night, he observed, and he narrates this, he was a young boy. He says, I saw the Prophet ﷺ wake up in the middle of the night. He went to the water skin, he took some water, he performed wudu, he washed himself, then he stood up in prayer, and I went and stood on his left side. He took me by my ear and put me on the right side. He describes the whole story of how eager he was to pray with Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But what we see in that hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ woke up in the middle of the night, and did he just stand up and pray? In this case, he went and performed a new wudu. So he knew, or he had known that he had to refresh his wudu. So we do see that the Prophet ﷺ, he was aware of his state of sleep and what happened in his sleep. So the second opinion that says that sleep is not a nullifier of wudu, but it's what happens, this group of scholars, they talk about what is considered sleep. What is considered sleep that is deep enough that it causes a person to lose the ability to know if they broke their wudu or not. That is the main issue that they try to understand. If we can understand at what point the human being loses his ability to know what is happening to his body, that is the point which the wudu has to become nullified, because we don't know what happened after that point. So these ulama, they have 8 different positions or statements regarding what is considered the deep sleep. What is considered the sleep that nullifies wudu? Because there's some type of sleep that doesn't nullify wudu, like we heard in the beginning of the hadith, that the sahaba, they dozed off and they stood up. And there's other types of sleep that is deep enough that it causes that person to lose the ability to know whether they broke their wudu in their sleep or not. So there's 8 different positions amongst the ulama. We'll try to make it, inshallah, beneficial for all of you. There are those who say that drowsiness, when sitting down, the simple drowsiness like the sahaba did, that does not nullify the wudu. Because the drowsiness, especially while sitting, nothing can escape without the person knowing it. While they're sitting down, just like the sahaba, when they were sitting and they dozed off, nothing could come out. So this group of ulama, they say simple drowsiness or nodding off, does it break the wudu? Does not break the wudu. There's another group of ulama, they say that sleeping while laying down with the feet extended or resting on a pillow, this definitely does break the wudu. This position, you see how they look at the position also. Sleep nodding off while sitting, they said it does not break the wudu. Sleeping while laying down, it does break the wudu. Because they look at the way that a person's sitting and whether they could have passed air while in that position. So sleeping while one is laying down, there's nothing to prevent the air from escaping, the gas from escaping. So that does break the wudu. Another opinion, the ulama, they say that whoever falls asleep in the salah, then it does not nullify the wudu. Sleeping in the salah while one is praying, it does not nullify the wudu. Why do they say that? Very beautiful proof that they use, that sleeping during the salah does not nullify the wudu. They use the hadith, which is also a very beautiful hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says when His servant falls asleep in sajda, Allah, He boasts, and He says, look at my servant. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if a servant, he falls asleep in his sajda, Allah says, look at my servant, his soul is with me, and his body is in front of me in sajda. His soul goes to Allah in sleep, as we know, sleep is the little brother of death, the soul goes to Allah, and his body is in sajda in front of me. So Allah, He boasts of that. So the ulama, they took this hadith, and they said, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, if a person falls asleep in sajda, so if his sleep broke his wudu, then his sajda would be invalid, and would his soul be with Allah? His soul would not be with Allah, because his sajda would have been broken, and his wudu would have been broken, and his prayer would not have been valid. So they said that this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he established, he said he's making sajda, and he said that he's asleep. So he's asleep and he's in sajda. That means that in prayer, if one falls asleep in the sajda, then his wudu is still valid. It does not break. This is one of the proofs they use that sleeping during the salah, it does not break the wudu. Some of the ulama, they made an analogy. They said then the same thing for ruku', when you're bowing, because it's similar to the sajda, and the same thing even while standing. Somebody's standing in prayer and then they fall asleep, they use the same argument that yes, their prayer, they're still in prayer and their wudu is not broken. So if somebody is in prayer, they nod off, they don't have to leave right away and make a new wudu, their prayer is still valid. This is what some of the ulama, they say. Now, there's something very interesting. There's an opinion by Imam Malik. Imam Malik, he makes a distinction between sajda and between the standing and the ruku'ah. He says that if somebody falls asleep standing or in ruku'ah, his wudu is still valid. But if he falls asleep while he's in sajda, his wudu is nullified. Why does he say this? What is the wisdom or the proof that he uses? He says if you fall asleep while in ruku'ah, your wudu is still valid, even while standing. But if you're in the sajda, you fall asleep, then your wudu is broken. You don't have control if you're in the sajda? But what about if you're standing up and you fall asleep? Wouldn't you also lose control? You would lose your... That's right, you'd fall down, right? So when somebody's standing, they have to have some level of consciousness so they don't fall down. Standing, it requires balance. This is why a child cannot stand up right away, has to learn. Likewise, the ruku'ah. If somebody, he wants to make ruku'ah, he has to have some level of consciousness. Otherwise, he'll fall down. But what about in sajda? If you go in sajda, you're on, as the Prophet ﷺ said, on the seven limbs. You're sitting down firmly on your hands, your feet, your forehead. Maybe you go into a deep sleep, and nobody knows. Maybe a few hours later, they wake you up. So the person could be in a very deep sleep. They don't need to be conscious at all, and still they would be in sajda. So Imam Malik, he made a difference. He said he distinguished between sleeping in the sajda, you could be in a deep sleep and you could have broken wind. But if you fell asleep in the ruku'ah and you woke up and you're still in ruku'ah, he said that means you must have had some level of consciousness, you were aware of your body, and if anything happened, you would have known about it. So Imam Malik, he gave that explanation, which is also very beautiful. Because in ruku'ah, one is on the four limbs, and the sleep could be very deep. Whereas the sleep in the bowing, it only can be a light sleep. It cannot be a deep sleep. And finally, we go back, and let us just summarize what the opinions, which state, what causes deep sleep, or what causes the wudu to break in sleep. Basically, they all go back to, at what point does a person go into a deep level of sleep? Some ulama, they say laying down, because that's a deep type of sleep. If one is sitting, then it's not a deep sleep. If one is nodding off, that is not a deep sleep, because as soon as they get into a deep sleep, they realize, they wake up. They realize that I nodded off, and they wake up right away. So what, and some of the ulama, they said, if he's in sajda, then it breaks the wudu because it's a deep type of sleep. Some of the ulama, they said standing or in ruku'ah, it does not break the wudu because he's still somewhat awake, or he still has some control over his body. And so that is, all of these opinions, they go back to the same point. At what point is a person in a deep sleep, and at what point is it a light sleep where he still has control over the body, control over the leaving of the air. And finally, a point that proves this and makes it, inshallah, will clarify it for us, is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he went with some of the Sahaba, and he prayed Dhuhr, and then he went to sleep. And the Sahaba, they were awake around him, and the time for the Adhan for Asr came. And so Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he woke up, he looked at the Sahaba, he said, "Did you hear anything when I was asleep?" They said, "No, we didn't hear anything passing gas." "Did he smell anything?" He said, "No, we didn't smell anything." So he got up and he prayed. So what did Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, what is his opinion regarding sleep breaking the wudu? Does sleep by itself break the wudu? According to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, no. It's only what happens in the sleep what breaks the wudu. And because his eyes were asleep, some other people were watching, and they know whether he broke the wind or not. And they were able to to communicate that to him, and therefore his wudu remained valid in that state. So he got up and he prayed. So again, the actions, the building on the hadith that the eyes are the tie string of the rear passage. When the eyes sleep, then the strings come undone. But if other people are there to witness, then even if nothing happened in that sleep, then his wudu, he considered his wudu to remain valid. Even though he was unable to know whether he broke wind, the Sahaba were able to affirm that he did not, and so his wudu remained valid. In any case, what we summarize is that the ulama, they mentioned that the first position is that any type of sleep will break the wudu. The second position is that only the sleep that is deep, where a person loses control over the consciousness of his body, it is a probable cause of breaking wudu. And because there is nobody to tell you whether you broke your wudu or not, then a person should repeat, they have to repeat their wudu after they wake up from that type of deep sleep. Finally, there's also one other opinion that is not related to deep sleep or light sleep, and this is what Imam Shafi'i says. Imam Shafi'i, he said, whoever sleeps with his back on the ground, even if he sleeps in a very deep sleep, even if he sees dreams, he's dreaming in a deep, deep sleep, Imam Shafi'i said it does not break the wudu. And the proof for that, he said that that position, it blocks the rear passage, it does not allow air to come out. So no matter how deep the sleep is, the air is still going to remain inside and his wudu will still remain valid. Okay, so this is the basic rulings or the basic detail regarding the rulings of the ulama on sleep. Can anybody summarize it for me?
three major rulings, right?
Okay, well first there's two general rulings or two general madahim, right? What are, the one group which is Hasan al-Basri and his opinion is that?
Any type of sleep breaks the wudu.
Any type of sleep breaks the wudu. What is his proof for that? That, remember, any type of unconsciousness, that a person, if he hits his head and he goes unconscious,
yeah,
he wakes up, does he have to repeat his wudu?
Yes.
Yes. All the ulama, they agree that unconsciousness due to an injury or due to a coma or due to drinking even, due to anesthetic, if you go to a surgeon, they put you asleep, when you wake up, all of the ulama, they agree that this is, you have to repeat wudu. So he said sleep is the same thing. You lose your consciousness, you have to make the wudu again. It breaks. Sleep itself is a nullifier, just like using a bathroom nullifies the wudu. He said it's the actual sleep that breaks the wudu. That is the proof. That is what Hasan al-Basri says. But what are the other group, the majority of the ulama say?
Deep sleep.
It's only the deep sleep that unties the string of the rear passage, as the Prophet ﷺ said, which allows the wudu to be broken. So sleep is a probable cause of hadath, but it's not a hadath by itself. I know this is a little bit of a detailed understanding of how sleep breaks the wudu, but the Prophet ﷺ said it. And it's also, his words are the most eloquent. He describes it in the most perfect way so that we can understand the fiqh of our religion, so that we can worship Allah better, inshallah ta'ala. So those are the two major madahib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa jazakum allahu khairan, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ali wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Is there any questions, inshallah? Anybody has? Welcome to ask, inshallah. Yes,
how
brother.
How about somebody who is praying, and maybe he's praying before them, but after he's before them, within the second or first second, he takes control of himself, but he's begun to pray the second rakah. And then he loses the prayer, or he loses the wudu.
Okay, he's sitting down for the tashahud,
no,
and
he's
he
praying
said,
like a human.
Yes, yes. Why did he fall down? What caused him to fall down? He fainted. Oh, the heat. Okay, so did he become unconscious or? Yes, so. Okay. Yes. If he went completely unconscious, then certainly he has to repeat the wudu. He has to repeat his wudu. If he went unconscious, because the ulama, they agree that unconsciousness requires a new wudu. But if somebody feels weak, you feel weakness, you feel, you know, tiredness, but still you feel control over your body, and you're just moving a little bit, yeah, not completely fainting, because if you fainted, you would have fallen on the ground, right? So you're saying the person didn't faint, but he just felt weakness, right, from the heat, and then he got up. So this is a type of heat exhaustion. I guess the doctor, he could tell us more about it. Heat exhaustion, does it cause unconsciousness or just weakness of the...
Just feel dizziness.
You feel dizziness, okay.
You're waiting for the Jum'ah, you're sitting, so when you stand up, all of a sudden you feel a little bit...
Okay. That's a good explanation. So dizziness, does it break the wudu? Dizziness does not. It's not one of the things that break the wudu. No, dizziness does not affect the wudu. Inshallah. Good question. Yes, Brother Khalid?
You're sitting in this chair and you fall into a deep sleep.
Yes, we mentioned that some of the ulama, they say that when you're sitting in a sitting position and you're nodding off and getting drowsy and you're falling asleep, and it does not nullify the wudu. Because that position is not a position where one can easily release gas unless they feel it. No. But they say that only when laying down, when one is laying down in that position, if you fall asleep, then it will break. It will do. Allah Ta'ala Anam, one is best. Any other questions, inshallah Ta'ala? Yes?
How about a sick person who's sitting and falls asleep, doesn't necessarily
break? If somebody's sitting?
And sick.
He's sick. What do you mean that he's sick? How do you... Okay, so he's feeling dizzy and okay, the sickness, does it break the wudu? It doesn't have, being sick or not, it doesn't have any effect on a person's wudu. If somebody's sick, the only sickness that breaks the wudu is if it's so sick that he becomes unconscious. Then at that point, his wudu will become broken. But just feeling fever, feeling tired, dizzy, those are the effects of sickness, but they don't have any effect on one's wudu. Inshallah. Any other questions, inshallah? Allah ybarak feek. May Allah bless you with beneficial knowledge and increase us more in knowledge. And please bring a friend next time, inshallah ta'ala. You get double ajr, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah spread the knowledge through all of us, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah.